A translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body. The trees are His hairs of His body. And the omnipotent air is His breath. The passing ages are His movements, and His activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So purport. The personality of Godhead is not a dead stone, nor is He inactive, as is poorly thought by some schools. He moves with the progress of time, and therefore He knows all about past, present, and future, along with His present activities. There is nothing unknown to Him. The conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the modes of material nature, which are the activities of the Lord. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita 7.12, the modes of nature are under His direction only. And as such, no natural functions are blind or automatic. The power behind the activities is the supervision of the Lord. And thus the Lord is never inactive, as is wrongly conceived. The Vedas say that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do personally, as is always the case with superiors, but everything is done by His direction. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without His sanction. In the Brahma Samhita 5.48, it is said that all the universes and the heads from them, the Brahmas, exist for the duration of His breathing period. The same is confirmed here. The air on which the universes and the planets within the universes exist is nothing but a bit of breath of the unchallengeable Virat Purusha. So, by studying the rivers, the trees, the air, and the passing ages, one can conceive of a personality of Godhead without being misled by the formless conception of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is stated that those who are much inclined to the formless conception of the Supreme Truth are more troubled than those who can intelligently conceive of a personal form. There's a lot in that purport. Om Jnana Timurandhasya Jnananjana Salakeya Taksu Unmilatam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Gopadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. So that's seeking the blessings of everybody here, that some understanding which we've had recently discussed in our Srimad Bhagavatam Sangha, the power of the Lord and His controlling nature, but not controlling in such that interferes with our independence, our minute independence, because we're here interacting under His control. He's controlling the wanderings of all the living entities, it tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, which I think is 1861. They're sitting on a machine made of material energy. Material energy, this body, causes us so much problems, you know. The senses, very difficult. And I know for myself, trying to chant Hare Krishna without thinking of prasad is very difficult for me, you know. And but it destroys the chanting. So it must be more serious. You know, just a whimsical thought, which is brought on by the senses, destroys something that should be attended and with full attention. So this is a trial, and it's japa is a very special thing, a special privilege brought by Lord Chaitanya, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But this purport has so much to tell us, and I'll just discuss as best I can this interesting word, lopa, hankering, you know, and dharmaha, religion. And then it says adharma, irreligion. So those things, they exist and coexist in this material world, but they have different forms. And in Bhagavad Gita, it tells us about how there are different religions, and they're expressed in different ways. But there is also the eternal religion, the Sanatana Dharma of the soul, the eternal relationship with the God that somehow is covered. So, going to the purport now, the personality of Godhead is not a dead stone, nor is he inactive, as is poorly thought of by some schools. Well, this is, we could say somehow it's following its own pattern, and that it is without direction and without sanction. But in fact, the interesting aspect is that it is active, but it's under certain control. It's active under the modes of material nature. And the modes of material nature, we are all subject to. And it's according to our previous lives' activities. We've got this body. And this Virat Rupa form is conceived of as a body. And it moves according to this, and with the progress of time. And therefore, he knows past and present along with his present activities. Past and future along with his present activities. Now, the interesting part there, that the Supreme Lord, though he is the controller or supreme sanctioner, you could say, the modes of material nature are doing their bit, and as super soul, he's activating everything in accordance with us all. It's an amazing matrix of living entities. they're all wandering under his control, and that actually not a blade of grass, he says, moves without the sanction of the Lord. So he's the doer, and yet he's not the doer. He's giving us this minute independence to act according to our nature and that which we've received with this body. But sometimes there's intervention. There's this wonderful intervention, as we know, that King Parikshit had imposed on him by the direction of the Lord. He put a snake round the sage's neck. He was a Bhagavat, and yet he acted out of character. But it's understood that actually he was directed. And this direction has brought us Srimad Bhagavatam. But still in that direction, he still felt he had done something terrible. That it was unpardonable. And he wanted a reaction quickly. You know, he wanted that somehow that he must do a penance of some sort. You know, and he was praying for it actually inwardly. That he was doing something that was not in his control. But here, the Lord knows past, present and future for every one of us. But he came to change our future, and he came to change it through the great souls and great sages. But this Bhagavatam, because of Parikshit's determination, was brought together to all the great sages of Namasharanya via Suta Goswami, repeating the words of Sukadev Goswami. So, and there were many types of yogis there, but they didn't know what they were going to hear. All they saw was Parikshit's example as a yogi committed to somehow to make up for his wrongdoing. And he'd been cursed to die in 7 days. So he had short time. And he asked many people what to do. As we all do ourselves in devotee association. That somehow we communicate with each other. That somehow that we're looking for guidance. And he was looking for guidance, but the sincerity of his commitment to the Supreme Lord and to worship him no matter what, with, you know, that his guidance actually came with his sincere request to the Lord to somehow to return to him, and but at the same time to recompense in some way, to tell me what I should do. And when that sincere request was made, the Lord sent his pure devotee Sukadev Goswami. And consequently, Srimad Bhagavatam became spoken in a certain time. Now, Sukadev Goswami was also Sri Sri Radhagul Kunnanda Kijai, Sri Sri Gornitai Kijai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai. He was also controlled by the Lord. He was sent there, you know. He controls the wanderings of all the living entities, but this special person who'd only just been told by his own father, this Srimad Bhagavatam, he repeated it for the first time at this this assembly of sages and that were all there listening. And very wonderful thing. So his hearing was very powerful, but also that Vyasadeva had passed on this Srimad Bhagavatam to his son. And so, but here it says, he also knows past, present and future activities. Nothing's unknown to him. And so we can see with what happened with King Parikshit. It brought us this great soul Srimad Bhagavatam to be brought in this world to replace the Lord himself when he left. You know, Krishna wouldn't leave us alone, that's for certain. He's with us in our heart. He's smaller than the smallest. So he's even inside the soul. He's smaller than the smallest. And so he's doing everything. And so the conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the modes of material nature, and which are the activities of the Lord. You see, we should understand also the modes of material nature are the activities of the Lord. He's controlling the wanderings of all the living entities, but also, little do we know that we are his hands and legs as well. We are acting and his mouths. We are acting in such a way that the Supreme Lord is actually speaking through us and through our interactions with other living entities. So under the modes of material nature. And so it says, the modes of nature act under his direction only, and as such, no natural functions are blind or automatic. So modes of material nature are there, and the power behind the activities is the supervision of the Lord. Thus the Lord is never inactive, because he's acting through the living entities, his parts and parcels. The Lord is wrongly conceived as never active. Now, that's an interesting one. That maybe is there somebody who can comment on that? Maybe in that way that this particular statement. The Lord is never inactive as is wrongly conceived. Some people think the Lord is inactive. Is this pantheism or something? Can you tell me, anybody? Some people consider that God is inactive. And it's just struck me here. I'm unsure of the meaning, how God can be inactive. But I think it means he's only inactive to the atheist. Sorry. Yes.
I mean, there are philosophers who have the analogy, it's like you create a clock and you wind it up and you let it go. And it just, it runs itself. So some people have this conception of God that he creates the universe and then he just lets it run itself.
Oh, yeah.
That's one way to look at
it. Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, no, but it's a point, isn't it? Inactive. So, but also, to the atheist, he's inactive, isn't he? He's not there. But it's interesting. Even the atheist and the theist are all talking about God. So it's an irony. You know, so this debate is there for the atheist progress, actually, because they're talking about God. One of the, you could say, lesser names of the God. So in that sense, so everyone's talking about God. And so then it says, but everything is done under his direction. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that in all the universes, and the heads of them, the Brahmas, exist only for a duration of a breathing period. Now, this is an incredible thing. He's in his yoga nidra, and he's just breathing, and there's all these living entities in this material existence, which has been specially created for us, that they're being given birth and death just in a breathing period of this yoga nidra. And it's... then it says, the same is confirmed here. The air on which the universes and the planets within the universe exist is nothing but a bit of breath of the Virat Purusha, being the Mahavishnu. So even by studying the rivers, the trees, the hair, the passing ages, one can conceive of the personality of Godhead without being misled by a formless conception of the Lord. So it says here, it is talking about that actually they'll get to the personality eventually. In 12.5, though, and it says here, it quotes in the Bhagavad Gita, 12.5, how that the impersonalists are going to really struggle, actually, to get to know God. It's yanis, and their speculations. So many, many lifetimes, even, if they're sincere yanis, they want to know the absolute truth, it's possible. But if they just want to be God themselves, then they have to go, because it's a materialistic thing, that it's for themselves. They see themselves as God. Still a selfish motive that they think they're God. But also, I heard Prabhupada say in a lecture about that, Krishna says, everything comes from me. And I am also saying, everything comes from me. So Prabhupada has picked up on something there. So I am Krishna too. So it was meant in a humorous sense, but actually it's also offensive. So they say, I am Krishna, and I'm repeating his words, because I am Krishna. I'm the source of these words. And so what can one say? Except so they're misled by the formless conception of the Lord, as it said in 12.5. But there are those within that 12.5, which eventually will come back to devotional service when they meet a realized soul who's seen the truth. And of course, the self-realized souls, it says in Bhagavad Gita, they have seen the truth. And so the comment I made is, actually, people like Prabhupada, whatever they're speaking, they're seeing. And that's their power. They're able to convey a picture into the hearts of others. It's a sound vibration. That's the power of sound vibration. Whereas so what we are asked to do is repeat what Prabhupada says. If we're trying to be sincere it's the best. But if we're doing it for our own false ego, it will have a cracked bell sound. So we have to be careful of our false ego, that speaking these words, which are not our words, they're the Lord's words, they're actually, we're just postmen, as Prabhupada says. You know, there's the deities, we're worshipping, we're passing on our messages to the Lord, we're putting them in the letterbox of the Lord, and he's receiving them. And so hopefully deity worship is, if we can conceive of it, that we're worshipping the Lord. It's a personal interaction between those who are worshipping in different ways, whether it be in the congregation, their worship, like in the COVID, they just stand and look. But that's their samadhi, because they are appreciative. They know this is their moment with the Lord. They come here, but actually, this is us. Also, should never be underestimated, this darshan. It's very, very important to every person that takes it. And so... this is a special service to let everybody see Krishna within the temple. But also, it doesn't also stop there. It means worship Krishna at home. Make your house a temple. That's the way. Do that. Because there are prescribed ways of home worship. And so we should do that. And I think it's 4:30, maybe 15 verses, 4:30, text 15 to 20. It elaborates very nicely the home worship, and that how it should be done, and that it's perfect for grihasthas, actually, to do that. So don't forget your home. That's a temple too. It's his house. They're his children. That wife is not your wife. She's Krishna's dasi. And that husband is not your das. It's Krishna's das. You should understand these things. So whatever you've got in your home belongs to Krishna. And that's Krishna's place. Even your washing up is Krishna's service. So do it for him. You're looking after his household. It should be perfect worship. Everything should be an act of worship. So we try and think in this way. But we're using the motor material nature to spiritualize ourselves, because we're using Sarvopadi Vinimuktam Tapardananyamalam Hishikesa Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uttama. I think that's it. But it says the Bhakti Yoga means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the senses. And by employing the senses in the service of the Lord, there are two side effects. One becomes free from material designations, and one, what is it, the other bit? Free from all material designation. Oh, where's my sheet? The senses become purified. Yeah, thanks. That's very good. Thank you. So the senses become purified. In other words, they're spiritualized. And Prabhupada says we're actually making our body now just by hearing Bhagavatam. Our next body is being created now. And our interactions and taking prasadam is being spiritualized. You know, just as the rod's put into the fire this spiritual knowledge and exchange and prasadam, the body, all our senses become spiritualized. And that's our whole thing. The body and the subtle body are all becoming spiritualized, which will take us back to Godhead. So I better finish here. It's half past eight. But if there's any quick comments or questions, please feel free to ask. Or is it perfect and complete? But it could be, you know, because we still have the congregation to support and they'll be coming in soon. But is there no questions that anybody feels necessary?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's like it's more of a troubling question. I just want to trouble you about this comment about meditating on prasadam and chanting.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's tough, but, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're speaking about it in a negative way. I think there's a negative side to it and a positive side.
Yes.
Because you could also see that the prasadam is mercy of the Lord, which it is.
Yes.
So in that sense, one becomes...
Maybe I'm being hard on myself. But, you know, I do get disappointed sometimes. You know, so... I'm told I'm too hard on myself, actually. But, I beat up myself every now and then. So, but it's not a good thing. But, okay. Thank you for that point. Yeah, no, that's nice. Anybody else? Okay. Shumag Bhavtam Kishai, Shirpa Bhav Kishai, Nitai Go Priman and the Hadi Hadi Bol.